All right, Rabbi, say good morning. Let's begin. So we left off in Parakhof, page Resh Yud Gimel. So remember, again, the Ramchal was speaking about the idea that Hasidus, at sometimes, again, it's not just enough to know what qualifies as Hasidus, but equally as important to know when to apply this midah of Hasidus. Because sometimes what appears at first glance to perhaps be the midah of Hasidus turns out later on to be a flaw of judgment. He quoted the example of Gedaliah ben Achikam, who was told that there was an assassination plot by Yishmael against him, but yet again did not want to believe it, Alts Lashon Hara. So the Ramchal says, very nice that he didn't want to be Makabal Lashon Hara, but at the end of the day, that first of all cost him his life, it cost the life of other Jews, and therefore Gedaliah ben Achikam is held accountable for his misplaced chasidus. So he goes on. V'abayis Hasheni, if you're in the red edition, it's page Resh Yud Gimel, four lines up from the bottom. V'abayis Hasheni, kam hu charav al yidei chasidus kazeh, asher lo mishkal b'mishkal tzedek. So too the second Beis HaMikdash was destroyed by this type of piety that was not properly weighed. Literally, shelo nishkal b'mishkal tzedek, that was not properly weighed in the right, in the correct weights and measures. This is what is he referring to? B'maisa de Bar Kamtso, with the episode of Bar Kamtso, omru, savur rabbonon lekaruve, amr lahen Rabbi Zechariah ben Avkalus, Yomru Ba'ali Mumin Kraven, the Gabi Mizbech. So we'll say, if you remember again the famous story, the infamous story in Meseches Gittin about Kamsa and Bar Kamsa. So the Gemara there tells the story of the particular Balabas, the particular householder who had a friend by the name of Kamsa and an enemy by the name of Bar Kamsa. He's making a party. He tells his servant to go ahead and invite Kamsa. The servant accidentally invites Bar Kamsa. To make a very long story short, the householder, the Balabas, Bar Kamsa get into a disagreement. Balabas orders Bar Kamsa to leave. Bar Kamsa offers to pay for the entire party just to save his dignity. Balabas will not hear of it. Bar Kamsa is publicly humiliated and leaves the party with a burning desire to get revenge against the Jews. He goes to the Caesar, tells the Caesar, the Jews have rebelled against you. Caesar says, that's ridiculous. Bar Kamsa says, watch, send them a carbon, send them an animal, and you're going to see they're not going to offer it. So the Caesar sends an animal. On the way there, Bar Kamsa splits the lip of the animal, rendering it a balmum. So the animal of the Caesar shows up in the Beis HaMikdash, and I can imagine there's an incredible discussion about what to do. So many of the Rabbanim said, we have to go ahead and offer it. Because again, if we don't offer it, it's Pashat Sakhanas Nafashos. If the Caesar sends an animal and you don't offer it, that will be construed as an act of rebellion. So they say, we have to move it. So Zechariah ben Avkalus says, no, you can't move it. Excuse me, you can't offer it. Because if you do so, people will say, Ba'alei Mumin Kraven L'Gab Mizbeach. People will learn from here that blemished animals could be offered in the Mizbeach. Therefore, you can't offer it. Okay. Amar Lahan, Samar L'Miktalei. So then they said, okay, well then we have to kill Bar Kamsa. Because here's the problem. If we're not going to offer the animal, Bar Kamsa is going to go back to the Caesar and tell him that we didn't offer the animal. So we have to kill Bar Kamsa. Now what's the halachic rationale for killing Bar Kamsa? He's a Moser, right? Anyone who delivers the Jewish people into a despotic, in the hands of a despotic government, ultimately has the din of a rodef, the din of a pursuit. You could kill him. So they wanted to kill Bar Kamsa. Amr lahen Rabbi Zechariah ben Avkalus. Rabbi Zechariah ben Avkalus said, Yomru matil mum b'kachim yuhari. You can't do that because people will say, you know why Rabbi Zechariah ben Avkalus was killed? Because he put a mum, because he inflicted a blemish onto a sacrificial animal. And people will say that the punishment for inflicting a mum on a sacrificial animal is death. In other words, people will come out with an erroneous understanding of halacha. So what happened? So Moshe says, as you can imagine, so nothing happened. Meaning, they didn't offer up the animal, they didn't kill Bar Kamsa. So as you can imagine, what occurs? So as they're deliberating on what to do, Bar Kamsa leaves, seeing the offering was not offered, goes back to the Caesar, tells the Caesar, Jews have rebelled against you. But Caesar, the Caesar, comes, the Hecher of Yerushalayim, and destroys Yerushalayim. And Rabbi Yochanan commented about this and said, "An visanuso shel Rabbi Zechariah hechriva es beisenu, visarfa es heichalenu, v'heglasanu lebein ha'uma. So we'll say the Gemara makes, Rabbi Yochanan makes a very damning statement. He says, avusanuso, literally the humility of Rabbi Zechariah ben Avkalus, destroyed our Beis HaMikdash, right, burnt our Heichal, and caused us to go ahead and be exiled among the nations. So we'll say, this is actually a very strong statement, because, you know, there's actually, I gave a shiur about this, a lunch learn about this, a few weeks back. I'm sorry?
The advertiser
had a shiur. That's right, you can get the podcast, you can hear it, it's on the podcast. So this is a fascinating discussion in general about Rabbi Zechariah ben Avkalus' responsibility, but without getting into that now, you clearly see here that Rabbi Yochanan is saying that it was Rabbi Zechariah ben Avkalus' behavior that ultimately went ahead and destroyed the Beis HaMikdash. And I will say, so what do you see? Like, what is it that's happening over here? What's happening over here is Rabbi Zechariah ben Avkalus, thank you, is trying to go ahead and he's trying to err on the side of caution. He's trying to be humble. He's trying to do all of these things. But yet at the end of the day, he makes a colossal mistake because there were opportunities for him to take action, to change the course of events, and to put things on the right trajectory. But instead, he failed to do that. And as a result of that failure, the Gemara says the Beis HaMikdash was destroyed. Hari lecha, listen to this. She'in ladun b'chasidus ha'maiseh b'asheru sham levad. What do you see from here? What's the take-home message? The take-home message is that when judging if a particular act is an act of piety or not, you can't just look at the act in the here and now. Ach tzarech lifnos kol v'kol l'chol atzdadin she'yachol seichal ha'adam liros. Rather, you have to try to look literally in every direction. In every way, you have to try to contemplate every single repercussion of your action. Ad she'yadun be'emes eiza yichsha yoser. Until you're able to make a real judgment call and decide for yourself, what's better, ha'asiyah or ha'prisha? What's better, to do this act or to separate from this act? So in other words, that you see from this idea here, that the Gemara is bringing up this example of Rabbi Zechariah ben Avkalus, because here, let's look at this for just a moment. On one hand, so Bar Kanta shows up in the Beis HaMikdash and they have this animal with a split lip. So Rabbi Zechariah ben Avkalus is concerned, if we offer it, people will say that blemished animals can be offered on the altar, in the Beis HaMikdash. So, legitimate concern. But, and what's the but? You have another set of circumstances over here. The Caesar, if you infuriate him and is viewed as an act of rebellion, will destroy everything. So, on one hand, Rabbi Zechariah ben Avkalus is advancing an argument that works in the here and now, but does not in any way take into account future repercussions. Same thing. They want to kill Bar Kamsa. No, you can't kill Bar Kamsa because people will think that he's being killed because he inflicted a blemish on the carbon. Legitimate statement, but totally ignores the realities of not killing Bar Kamsa. If you don't kill him and he goes back to the Caesar, you're in incredible danger, incredible trouble. So the point the Gemara is making over here, Bosa, and this is an incredible yisod, because very often we fall into this trap of making decisions that we think are good and pious decisions for the here and now, but we don't contemplate the future impact of those decisions. We think about what they are now, but fail to see what they will become later on down the road. So says the Ramchal, the midah of chasidus is not just simply acting in a pious way. The midah of chasidus means that I've been able to gauge that the pious act is pious now, and pious in the future. And the ripple effects of the act are positive as well. And sometimes after realizing that the act itself may be good in the here and now, but may be significantly detrimental in the future, I cease and desist. I don't engage. And I will say, again, remember, I'm simplifying this. This is a very difficult process. This is probably one of the most difficult processes of life, of making sure that the quote-unquote good decisions we make now ultimately will be good, not just now, but will be good down the road later on. Also, you know, I think where this often comes up in the most acute fashion is with children, right? That what happens? A person has to go ahead and make decisions about their children now. And again, here's what I need for my child, A, B, C, D, and E. It's very nice. There is the future reality the present reality of those decisions. But what I as a parent also have to contemplate is, each of those decisions I make for my child is going to have a ripple effect. So what is the ripple effect? Is the ripple effect good? Is the ripple effect not good? And if the ripple effect is not good, Even if the present impact is good, I have to think long and hard before I execute that decision. This is Chassidus. So Chassidus demands not just, hey, this is a good thing, let me do it, but it's a good thing that I've contemplated its future impact, and therefore I'll do it. Hinei HaTorah Tzivsa. The Torah commands us, Hochiach Tochiach HaSamisecha. Torah commands us to rebuke our fellow. So we'll say the idea over here is if I see someone doing something wrong, I have a mitzvah to rebuke them, to tell them what they're doing is wrong. The Kama Pamim Yikonis Adam Lochiachot in Bemakom Obizman. Shein Divarav Mishana. We'll say this is so profound. But what happens? You know, Hochiach Tochiach HaSamisecha, rebuking your fellow. The word rebuke also, it's probably a better word than Hochiach Tochiach. Okay, we'll translate as rebuke, but rebuke always sounds like screaming and yelling. That's not what it's referring to over here. What it means is if I see someone doing something wrong, I have an obligation to point it out. But Ramchal says, here's the problem. That only sometimes you see a person take it upon themselves to rebuke another. But the problem is what, as we all know, if you ever have to give, you know, what we'll call it criticism or critical feedback or constructive feedback to someone, so it's all about what? It's all about the timing. That because if you say something to someone and they're just not in a moment where they're going to be receptive to it, it totally backfires. Not only do they not hear the message, but it creates such incredible animosity that it totally backfires. Bless you. So the Ramchal is over here. So we'll say, again, here's another example. Bless you. So sometimes a person will enter into rebuking his fellow and rebuking someone who's sinning, either in a place or in a time where they're not receptive. The gorim lahem lehisparit yoser berisham, and it causes a person to be even worse. Ulechalal Hashem ulehosef pesha chatosam al pesha, and causes a person to sin even more. Hine kayotzi bazeh. See here what he's saying, and this is mamash like the key to successful living. That sometimes chassidus is expressed, yes, in the spoken word, and so then chassidus is expressed with just closing your mouth. Because if I realize that right now the words of rebuke are not going to have their intended result, but instead they actually have the potential to backfire and hurt people and go ahead and cause people to do even worse actions, then what Chassidus demands is, wait. I will say, now it doesn't mean that therefore I never rebuke or I never give the critical feedback. It means that what? Now is not the moment. So the Midah of Chassidus, and this is amazing, that the Midah, essentially what Ramchal is saying is, the Midah of Chassidus means doing the right thing, both as defined in the present as well as in the future. So sometimes the Midah of Chassidus will demand action. Sometimes the Midah of Chassidus will demand inaction. He goes on, V'kach amru zichron levracha, k'shem shemitzvah lomar davar hanishma, k'ach mitzvah lomar davar shelo lomar es she'eno nishma. Rabbi says a very profound statement. The same way that it is a mitzvah to say something that ultimately will be heard, so too it is a mitzvah not to say something that will not be heard. An incredible, incredible yisod. So you see that Ramchal driving over here this idea that the midah of chassidus, and Rabbi said this, I can't, we all struggle with this, I'm saying, because we make decisions in the here and now, and then we look back at them and we wonder to ourselves, like, why did they go so badly? And more often than not, it's because we did not contemplate the future ramifications of our present decisions. So therefore, says Ramchal, the midah of chassidus says, yes, be pious, be good, do the right thing, but make sure the right thing is objectively right in the present as well as in the future, and then do it. And if you can't say that it's right in the present and or the future, then l'maisa kubi, the midah of chassidus is not to do it. Of course, I will say the great challenge of this is obvious. The great challenge of this is what? It's very difficult to be able to forecast what is going to be good for the future, what's not going to be good for the future. But here's the good news. The good news is that most of us have made enough mistakes in life to know what will work and what won't work. So very often we get to learn from our life experience and to see ultimately what things should be done, what things shouldn't be done. Says the Ramchal, that's the Midah of Chassidus. So we'll stop over here. We'll pick up middle of page Reshu Dalit tomorrow.
What's the name of the rabbi who was intervening without regard to the future?
Rabbi Zechariah ben Avkalus.